This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 130. Can a comic collector of 20 plus years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Well, thank you, AnnouncerBot, and welcome to How I Got My Wife to Read Comics. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just as a reminder, we have a Facebook fan page. Just search for How I Got My Wife to Read Comics on Facebook. Go to sfpodcastnetwork.com for the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or go to iTunes and search for How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, where you can leave us a review.
And you can contact us through the website, Facebook, or email, sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Find and call the voice line at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9-SFP. And moving right on to the first topic.
Yeah, because I have no announcements of any kind to make.
All righty. Superboy number one from Jeff Lemire and Gallo. Of course, Jeff Lemire we know from Sweet Tooth over in Vertigo. This is putting Connor back in Smallville and having him stay there, and pretty much the storyline's going to stay in that area.
But it's meanwhile, in Teen Titans, he's in San Francisco.
Of course. You're right. Well, he goes back and forth. But it's a very weird Smallville. Phantom Stranger shows up and gives him some vague warning about he's going to have these big challenges and people will be in danger. And most of this issue is kind of setting up his supporting characters. And really, if you're going to have your own title, you've got to have your supporting character set. And so
your supporting characters and your villains.
Right. And so we see, I think her name, Lena. Is her name actually Luthor in here? I guess
yes,
it is. Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, because Luthor is not a bad name in this continuity. So
why not? What do you mean in this continuity?
Well, back in the Silver Age, there was a character who was his niece or sister. But Luthor was such a bad name because he was such a super criminal.
But he is, I guess he's been pardoned,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. But back then, her name was Lena Thorol.
Oh, okay.
They did an anagram of her name, and she had no idea who she was related to.
Okay.
And in fact, there was a whole storyline where Superman finds out about it, and Luthor comes to him and begs him not to tell her, and he agrees. So, anyways, in this issue, we set up the supporting characters of this Lena Luthor character, who we've actually already seen, and this other character, whose name I don't remember off the top of my head, but he's kind of like the
Boy genius guy.
Yeah. Generic boy genius character, who, of course, has figured out that he's Superboy. Parasite attacks. Superboy manages to take him out using the telekinesis power.
Tactile
telekinesis. Of course, I guess the question is, so Parasite probably absorbed that power as well, but didn't realize he had it.
Yeah,
or he would have been using it.
Guess so.
He just assumed he had Superman's powers, and that's all he was using. And in the end, Poison Ivy comes in, supposedly to help, and realizes she's too late. And that's the last panel. What I thought was particularly interesting was on the Coming Soon page, and this is something you see now, especially on issue one of or new story arcs of titles, where they have a last splash page. It's just like, okay, here are just some scenes of what's going to come up. And one is particularly interesting to me because there's this like supposed Titans group that includes what appears to be the Earth 2 Robin costume, which is one of the goofiest costumes ever done. It's kind of like you took the Batman costume and the Robin costume and just jammed them together. So it's
with sort of a Dr. Fate looking cape,
I think. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you've got the yellow cape, you've got the gray Batman shirt with I think in that case they actually had a big R in the middle of the bat symbol. In this case, it's a B in the middle of the bat symbol. But it is very much a takeoff on that. Again, back in the Silver Age and when they were doing all the crossovers in the JLA and JSA, they had to have some way to indicate to the reader that, okay, this is not the Earth 1 Robin. It's the older Earth 2 Robin. And so they came up with this goofy costume. Anyways, I just thought that was interesting. What did you think?
Oh, I thought it was really good, but I kept flashing back to, wasn't there just a recent Superboy series where he was ticking off his list of things?
Well, it was an adventure, yeah.
So that's the same Superboy, right?
Right.
So I think that Boy Genius was in that one, too.
I think you're right. I think you're right about that.
So it's taking off from that.
Right. Continuing on from that storyline.
Storyline. Okay.
And I suspect that Lemire was probably promised Adventure Comics, and he was going to take it over. I think that, in fact, that was the plan. And then the whole shakeup occurred, and they had to give they wanted to kick in Legion of Superheroes, and they wanted to give Levitt something to do since they were kicking him out of the boardroom. And so they gave him that. And so that's why Superboy got kicked out of Adventure Comics.
And has a new comic. I liked it. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
I will keep reading it.
Yeah. Yeah, good storyline. JSA All-Stars number 12 from Sturgis and Porter. So this is very much a Cyclone story. They set it up so that the rest of the All-Stars are off in some interstellar war that we keep cutting back to. It's just kind of like gibberish, just to make it clear of, no, they're gone. They can't be involved.
Right.
So it's Cyclone and Stargirl are the only members available. And,
well, and that computer girl character.
Right. Cyclone has lost her powers. She lost them in a previous battle in the last issue. I'd actually forgotten that. And so she's just going back to college and trying to work out her life being non-super, but at the same time, she's trying to figure out how she lost her powers and theoretically how to get them back. What ends up happening, and for a reason that we don't understand yet, there's suddenly a second Cyclone.
And that Cyclone has powers.
Right. And then in the very last panel, there's a third Cyclone. So all these Cyclones, and it was really interesting hearing all the dialogue between the two Cyclones, because they're like, well, let's see, you could be from an alternate storyline, or you could be my clone, or you could be...
Right, and it appears as though all the Cyclones have the same costume.
Right.
So, again, referring to the Robin issue earlier, mm-hmm. It doesn't appear as though they would be from alternate worlds. Because they have the same costume.
Same costume, the same memories and all that, so.
Yes. I really like Cyclone. I think they do a good job on her mm-hmm. for the most part, although I thought some of the artwork was a little spotty in this one.
Well, it's Porter, and he's good at heroic stuff, but not so good at character type stuff, you know.
Like when she's sitting here working at the computer, she just looks, I don't know, weird.
Yeah. But Porter will, Sturgis and Porter will certainly bring together that storyline and explain to us what the heck's going on. Move on to Batman and Robin number 16, Grant now, Morrison and Stewart.
Before we do anything with this one, yes. I have to say, I've pretty much abandoned Batman and Robin.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you this. I said I wasn't going to read it anymore when Grant Morrison was writing it because I'm too confused and I don't like it very much.
There is so much going on and there's all these new characters and there's a lot of jumping around and it's very weird. There's no question that Grant needs a better editor. And I don't think he has anybody editing him right now.
Well, you know, yeah, as an author, you get to a certain point where editors are afraid to do anything
right,
to you.
Right, exactly. And that's exactly where DC is. And so they just let him do whatever he wants. And it's just all over the place. And so this concludes the whole Return of Bruce Wayne storyline.
Which is the only reason why I read it, because right. You told me that...
There's something. There's important things going on
yes.
here. And it's rather non-momentous. What was the concluding event, which was Bruce coming back and telling Damian and Dick, I'm back. And it's just like, oh, yeah, whatever, you know. Well, obviously you're coming back, which kind of mirrors the reader. It was like, yeah, we know he's coming back. It's just a matter of how you're doing it. It's kind of weird that they just went through this whole storyline and the return one shots and this whole thing about the insider. And then, okay, well, and then that's over. And
yeah.
Now we're moving on. And because it's Grant Morrison who does whatever he wants. So in the end, Bruce comes out and makes an announcement, a public announcement. People have wondered how Batman was able to fund all of this. And he just comes out and says, yeah, secretly I've been funding Batman all these years.
Right. Now, Wasn't there just another issue of Batman where, or of some sort of Batman comic where they were doing an audit because of the pension fund and...
Well, that's the next one coming up, or a couple coming up. Yeah, the one this week. But that's a whole separate. That's not in the current storyline.
That's not the current continuity. No. Okay, that's what had me confused.
Right.
Okay.
And so Bruce officially announces Batman Incorporated, which we knew is a new title coming up. This is Grant Morrison again, and the concept, as far as we know, is there will be multiple Batmen.
So it's going to be like the web.
Yeah, kind of. But this really takes us 360 from the original concept of Batman was shadowy figure, vigilante, not even sure if he exists.
Yes.
And nobody would officially comment on, you never saw a picture of him. And then it went to the 1960s and the Silver Age, and it became very public. And during that time, every other day, it was Batman Day in Gotham City, and there were parades. And then... we went back into the 70s and 80s and get into the 90s and we're back in secret. And again, you didn't know if he actually existed. The public was like, okay, is he just a boogeyman that they made up? Is it a publicity stunt? And now we're back to Batman's very public.
Yes.
So again, we've pretty much come full circle here. Batman Confidential, number 50 from Guggenheim and Bingham. So this story jumps back and forth in time from panel to panel. And it is kind of this mirroring thing of this, what appears to be a new villain, but is reality an older villain. And we learn he's an older villain because it ties into what they call a lost classic JLA story from the Silver Age, which is clearly a new story made up to kind of fit all this. And it's just the idea of the classic characters, and it's a very simplistic format and the graphics, and it's very much trying to ape the Silver Age look.
Is it bad that I liked the Silver Age story better?
No, not at all. I did too. But it does tie into the main story, and they kind of introduce the character retroactively. Also, this whole storyline ties into Identity Crisis somehow, because it starts with the big scene where Bruce shows up and sees that the JLA are secretly decided that they're going to wipe Dr. Light's mind.
Right.
And Batman's going to go and fight them all, and that's when Satana wipes his memory so he doesn't remember that they did it. So somehow this all ties into that main storyline. I did say that I did like the Silver Age story, this backup story, better, but I mean, the artwork was a little uneven. It would have been nice to have seen, frankly, gotten maybe a better artist, maybe even a Silver Age artist come and do it.
Yeah.
I think that would have helped a lot because some of the character kind of changed from page to page a little bit. I wasn't a big fan of that. But overall, I like the artwork, and overall, I like that storyline. Batman Catwoman, Big Bat Week, Follow the Money. So this is a Howard Chaykin one-shot. And like all Chaykin stuff, two things he does is he references the media, and there's a whole page where we see the various reactions of the media about the fact that somehow... people have ripped off Wayne Enterprises and ripped off the pension fund. And it's all the media reactions. And the other part of this is dialogue between characters that argued the two separate sides politically.
Yes.
And so throughout that issue, Bruce and Selina are arguing, is justice more important or is truth more important?
Can you break the law in pursuit of a bigger
goal, of bigger justice? It's a nice, fun caper story. In the end, Selina convinces Bruce that they have to break into the auditing firm that is auditing the Wayne Enterprises funds.
So that they won't find information that...
about that clearly there's a secret fund that's funding Batman. Ironically, being announced over in Batman and Robin comic. But again, this is... clearly earlier where all this is going on.
Right. I really like this Selina.
Mm-hmm.
This and in Gotham, the Gotham Sirens. Mm-hmm. I like this Selina who's a little bit reformed but still not bad to...
when willing to go on to the vigilante side when she has to.
Yes.
And, you know, it's Chaykin, so it's always really great art. But it's something you instantly recognize if you're into comic books of Howard Chaykin's art, where it's very heavy lines and all of the men have the big chins and there's the prerequisites of the some woman in a corset. That seems to happen pretty much in every Chaykin comic at some point. And they got it in there.
That was at the opera or whatever.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. Before we get out of here, I think it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? You know, Mark, we haven't actually said why we play Guess Who's on the Cover of Entertainment Weekly for a while.
Right.
We played, you know, we've played it almost every episode, and we explained at the beginning why we played it.
Mm-hmm.
But there might be new listeners who wonder, why do they play this Who's on the Cover of Entertainment Weekly game? And we play it because I make you.
Right.
So that's all. Well, I just want readers to know that.
And that we did it long before we did the show.
Yes, every week I would make Mark guess who was on the cover of Entertainment Weekly. And right. So.
And at one point, we were actually going to, that was going to be the show.
Yes, we were just going to do a weekly guess who's on the cover of Entertainment
Weekly. But a 3-minute weekly show seemed kind of silly.
Yes. Now, if it was a daily magazine.
Right.
We could play guess who's on the cover of the Columbus Dispatch every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, really?
Yawn.
Okay, so I'm ready.
Anyways.
Are you?
I'm ready.
Okay, go.
Movie related? Movie
go.
Related?
Yes.
Is it one movie?
Yes.
Okay. Is it a movie that's already out?
No.
Movie that's coming out?
Yes.
Is it coming out before the end of the year?
I think so, yes.
Okay, is it one person on the cover?
Yes.
And is it a man?
Yes.
A man under 30?
Yes.
Under 20?
Probably not.
Okay, so he's the star of whatever this movie is.
Yes.
And the movie is genre related?
Yes.
Is it related to science fiction?
You know, only tangentially it's, you could
is
classify.
Is it superhero?
No.
Okay. Is it fantasy?
Yes.
Okay, it's more fantasy.
Yes.
And it's somebody between 20 and 30 that's coming out in a And this is some big movie that's coming?
Yes.
It's not Harry Potter or something.
It is.
It's Daniel Radcliffe.
Yes, the end is near, basically, is what it is. Because there's only two more movies. Only two more.
And as the advertising arm for Warner Brothers, Entertainment Weekly has, of course, cover.
Oh, they'll have six or seven covers
absolutely.
For it. So.
You no question in my mind.
All right. Well, you got that with almost a minute to spare.
Yeah,
so.
That's one of those go-tos pretty much for Entertainment Weekly.
Yeah. So you still didn't say who it was, though, I guess.
Daniel Radcliffe.
There you go.
Yeah, I said that.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
I guess I wasn't listening.
Okay. So I want to remind you about that Facebook fan page where you can complain about Mindy not listening to me during the Entertainment Weekly show.
What makes any difference from any time else?
So just search for How I Got My Wife to Read Comics. You can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com for the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or you can go to iTunes and search for How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, and please leave us a review.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you finish?
Yes.
Okay. You can contact us through the website, Facebook, or email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, or call our voice line at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. And I'm sorry about that beeping noise. I forgot to turn the timer off.
Quite all right. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.